Blog Talk Radio.
Make it up. Vacation over, bro.
Vacation is over. Here we go. It's fun. Uh-oh.
Took too long, Rob. Back to my haters. Here we go.
Rabado!
What time is it, Rob?
It's now, it's now. Vacation is over with people. We back.
It has been like an extended vacation. You know, we've been dealing with the elements, but it's all good. We are officially back, and you are talking sports with the 12th man. Today, of course, is Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, December the 2nd, man. We got to get back into it. And, of course, I am Andre Peterson. You're talking sports with the 12th man. Without further ado, I would not be remiss if I did not introduce my co-host, ready to co-anchor with me tonight, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing, Rob Ford?
Man, doing fantastic, man. Glad to be back on the air. We've both been overcoming a little bit of the bug here the last few weeks and getting our voice back. I think we're ready to talk some sports again.
Yeah, it should be good, you know. So if we stumble a little bit, it's all good. But as always, like we like to do, we like to definitely throw out some numbers you want to call into the show, as we always invite you to do. If you want to call into the show, that number is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. If you want to follow us on social media, we are there as well. We're in the social media space. Go to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is the number 12, THMAN Sports, at Twitter.com, obviously. And then finally, we are available via Facebook. So if you go to Facebook.com, you put in Talking Sports with 12 Man or 12 Man Sports, you will find us as always. Man, Rob, got a lot of things to catch up on. And, of course, we would do the show whenever I'm not doing that good fantasy-wise. I had a rough week, but that's okay. We'll get this party started, Rob. You got a lot of news in college football world. If you didn't know, let's kick this bad boy off. I don't know if you want to start anything before we kind of talk about the biggest shock, Rob. Brady Hoke is actually let go from Michigan. And is Jim Harbaugh the answer, Rob? Or who do you think Michigan's going to kind of get as we get ready to get the show right off the jump here, sir?
Well, I think if you're Michigan, you have to at least call and talk to Jim Harbaugh. You know, he is an alumnus of the school. I think you have to at least gauge his interest, see if there is some interest. I think you do have to make that phone call. However, I don't think Jim Harbaugh wants to go back to the college game, just my personal opinion, you know, based on sources as well. It looks as though he will stay in the pro game. I mean, that's a whole other topic here, whether or not he's going to stay with the 49ers or not. But obviously, you know, Jim Harbaugh is a phone call that you have to make. But I don't think he would take the job. I think another guy that they will call, just because he's a Michigan man, also is Les Miles. And uh-oh, if you're Les Miles, you know, he's 61 years old. It's either now or never if he goes to Michigan. So, I mean, I would say maybe a 50-50 chance with Les Miles here. I almost think it's almost a no chance for Jim Harbaugh. But I think from a Les Miles standpoint here, he's got to think like, well, if I am going to coach my alma maters, this is probably my last opportunity. And you can kind of go back to when Roy Williams took over at North Carolina. Dean Smith asked him once, and he decided to stay at Kansas. And Dean Smith asked him the second time. Roy Williams said, I couldn't say no to Dean Smith twice. And so he went away and went to North Carolina. So I think it's going to come out of the same thing with Les Miles here. You know, I know he likes his situation at LSU, but will he consider, you know, an opportunity to coach his alma mater? But I'm going to say in the end, Les stays at LSU as well, even though I think it's 50-50. But my prediction is he'll stay at LSU. And so that gives us the intriguing question of who will take over the Michigan job. And I think there's a few other guys that Michigan will call. I think Dan Mullen, head coach of Mississippi State, is one of those guys that I think would strongly consider the position as well. So he's a guy that I think will wind up being in the mix for the position as well. So it's going to be interesting. I would say Dan Mullen is definitely in the mix as well.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on this, Rob, because I want to talk about a name that you will know, obviously. We'll talk about Tavo Pelini getting let go, too. We've got to talk about that, too. But, you know, as an LSU fan, is that, do you want Les Miles to kind of go? Or are you kind of like kind of hoping that he takes the Michigan opportunity, Rob, from an LSU perspective?
Well, I know there are a lot of LSU fans that will be ecstatic if Les Miles left, but I think there are also some that will be sad if he left as well. So I think the LSU fans are 50-50 on that aspect. There are a lot of LSU fans that feel like LSU is underachieved under Les Miles when you look at the talent. As of right now, LSU has more players in the NFL than any other school. And so you look at it from that standpoint. Then you just look at the standpoint of Zach Mettenberger, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Jeremy Hill. That's four offensive players that was on the LSU team last year that's making a huge impact as rookies in the NFL this year. And you almost kind of had the feeling like why LSU didn't have more success last year. I mean, it went 10-3. It's a solid record, you know, but you almost get the feeling that it could have been a little bit better than even that. So there are some observers that feel like, hey, you know, maybe LSU is underachieving under Miles. But then there are also some observers that says that Miles has won a national championship at LSU. He's taken LSU to another national championship game and lost. And plus, he averages 10 to 11 wins every season. So, you know, you have that those fans that are like, hey, you know, be careful what you wish for. Look at the kind of success he's having. But then you have a fan base that thinks they're underachieving as well.
Speaking of underachieving, Rob, I do want to talk about Bo Pelini here. You know, he's won no less than 9 games for Nebraska. You know, he's taken to a couple bowl games. You know, obviously he didn't get him over the hump, man, but they won about 9 games over the past 7 years, and they let him go. Is that kind of craziness in your opinion? Is Bo Pelini, what do you think he's going to land on his feet, Rob? That's kind of like a little side note there, Rob.
Well, this is, in my opinion, a bad move by Nebraska. I think Bo Pelini has done a very solid job. This is not Nebraska from the 80s, 90s, and even the early 2000s. I mean, it's hard to recruit good players to go to Nebraska. I mean, let's come on. Lincoln, Nebraska, I mean, you know, that's a hard-selling job, getting players to come to Lincoln, Nebraska these days. And right now, Nebraska is having to settle for second-tier recruits and try to redshirt those guys and develop them, those kind of players. That's where they are right now as an institution when it comes to the football program. You're not getting top-level recruits that you once were able to do. You got to get these guys in, develop them, coach them up, and see what you can get out of these players. And I think Bo Pelini has done a phenomenal job based on the situation that he has there at Nebraska.
You know what's interesting, Rob, and this is kind of one of those kind of where it hits close to home, and this actually came out of left field. You know, obviously Georgia Tech's been playing well, and somebody's like, hey, if I'm Nebraska, I'd reach out to Paul Johnson, something I didn't even expect. But, you know, you said that they weren't like the Nebraskas of the old, but if he came in, it would be kind of like I don't know, that'd be an interesting look to kind of have them go back to where they were, you know, running the option, if you will. I don't know what your thoughts about that. I just thought that was interesting that somebody actually mentioned that today. Like, I'm Nebraska, I'd reach out to Paul Johnson. I don't even know if that's even on the radar, but that was an interesting point for sure. I didn't even expect that.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not even sure if he's a candidate for the Nebraska job, but that's a very good analogy there. And when you look at it, I mean, I think Paul Johnson, when you look at the way Georgia Tech has played this season, he's done a phenomenal job. And I can't see that being a bad move on Nebraska. I would think that you would want to pick up the phone and call Paul Johnson, see if you can bring that style of play back to Nebraska. And I think it may be a style of play that might even work better in the Big Ten than it would in the ACC.
Wow. Yeah, just that was just one of those thoughts that was just kind of out of left field. But then I'm like, wow, I never even expected that too. But let's keep moving, man. I know we spent a lot on that. I do want to talk about some college football playoff predictions. We'll talk about who Florida is targeting on that front of two, Rob. So go ahead and jump into your playoff predictions. We can go ahead and jump into your college football playoff projections, if you will, and predictions and all that fun stuff. And what do you have? This is going to be very interesting as far as a lot happening this weekend for a lot of ACC championship games in Florida State and Georgia Tech, obviously. What are your thoughts about this, Rob?
Well, obviously, you know, the new college playoff standings came out tonight, early this evening. And right now, the number one seed is Alabama. They dropped Florida State, even though they're undefeated. They dropped them down to number four, just barely getting into the playoff as we
very
speak.
Strong.
Alabama would play Florida State in the 1-4 matchup in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl. And Oregon, the number two seed, would play TCU, the number three seed, in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl for that matchup. Very interesting. Under that scenario, I mean, I would definitely go with Oregon and Alabama, with Oregon winning the national championship. But obviously, there's still a lot of football to be played this weekend. But if that stays the same, I like Oregon. I think they're the best football team in the country right now.
Really? Wow, okay. It's even better than Alabama, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Alabama's dodged a few bullets this year. And, you know, obviously playing in that SEC West, you know, every team is going to be tough and every opponent is going to be tough. So I think you have to have a little bit of luck on your side to come out of that division. And but Arkansas and LSU both, but too, if you watch those two football games, those are two teams that really killed themselves and really had Alabama on the ropes and really should have beat Alabama.
Wow. I think a lot of teams are surviving too. This season has been very interesting as it has played out too. But, you know, Robert.
Yeah, McKinney, yeah, Florida State obviously survived probably a lot more games than Alabama, so it's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, you know, obviously there's some teams. It's tough to win 27 games. I think we thought about I think you did predict that Florida State was going to be in there, but they were going to lose. But, you know, it's been interesting how the season has definitely played out. So, we're going to keep it moving on the tracks here. And you know, obviously, we're talking about some coaches getting let go. The next one, Florida, is targeting Jim McEwen for the head coaching position. Tell us a little bit about this, Rob. And are they not looking at Dan Mullen anymore, or just kind of give us some feedback about this particular move by Florida?
Well, Dan Mullen is not a candidate for the Florida job. He's actually not interested in the Florida job as well. So that's not a move there that's going to take place. Jim McElwain is the head coach right now at Colorado State. Done a fine job turning that organization around, 18-8 in the last 2 years. But somewhat of a surprise to me. I was thinking Florida was going to look for more of a big name coach, a big splash kind of guy. I know Josh McDaniels, offense coordinator from New England, was a guy that I thought was going to be a candidate. And I thought they were going to put in a phone call to John Gruden, just personal, see if he were interested in coming to the college game. I was thinking Florida was looking more at a big-name kind of coach. So this is, to me, somewhat of a surprising move. Nothing against Jim McElwain, but obviously he's a guy that Florida likes, and they must see something in him as far as going to the next level.
I got Jim McElwain's agents on the line right now, too, Rob. He wants to talk to you about that real quick, you know.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. That would be funny. Let's keep moving here. You know, so in the midst of, you know, some teams letting some coaches go, and you have some coaches or, excuse me, some schools that are trying to lock up some coaches, Old Miss and Hugh Freeze actually reach a contract agreement on an extension. I know there's some talk about Georgia Tech and Paul Johnson, but tell us a little bit about Hugh Freeze Is this a good move for Ole Miss? I know they had they fell short a couple times, Rob. I know they could have had a bigger year if they would have been able to pull out a couple wins. But what about, do you think this is a good move right now for Ole Miss?
Well, obviously there are a lot of programs. I was interested in talking to Hugh Freeze here. And when you really look at where the Ole Miss program was prior to Hugh Freeze, he's done a phenomenal job in getting that, elevating that program. Tremendous job, as a matter of fact. They closed out the season with a big win over the arch rival Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. Obviously, had some few tough losses, of course, losing to Alabama. They beat Alabama, actually. They're the only team to beat Alabama. But they lost to LSU, big loss to Auburn as well, and, of course, the big Arkansas shellacking, too. So those are some tough losses. But they did rebound with a big win over Mississippi State. Phenomenal young defense. Obviously lost a couple of their wide receiver weapons, so they kind of hurt them down the stretch. But still, Hugh Freeze done a phenomenal job elevating that program. And this contract extension was done to keep him at Ole Miss and prevent another school from coming in and swooping them up.
Good analysis, sir. I know my phone is ringing right now from Michigan, so I'm going to let that go to voicemail. We'll see how that plays out too, man. So just a little FYI there.
Looking for a new H2O guy.
Looking for a new head coach, man. That's what it's all about.
New H2O guy.
We're about 13 minutes, and we're just flying through the show. Once again, the number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, too. You know, we're getting back into this as well, too. So, you know, there's been some changes, Rob, in the Heisman race. Some people have risen and have fallen. This is an interesting name, Amari Cooper. Should he be considered? And you talk about a guy that's just been blowing it up at Alabama. I'm not going to say dark horse, Rob, but this guy's been playing just crazy, man, lights out. What do you think about his opportunities to be considered for the Heisman?
Well, I think he's definitely been top five, top six player in the Heisman race, in the Heisman ballot. You look at this past week's game against Auburn, man, this guy had 200 some yards receiving in three quarters. Phenomenal job. Obviously, I think Marcus Mariota is a hands-on favorite to win a Heisman. To me, he's the guy that deserves it. But Amari Cooper should be in that top five area in the Heisman ballot.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's good stuff. And like you said, we talked about it earlier. We had some early predictions. I'm kind of scared to listen to the shows now because I don't know where we were. But, yeah, if you would have compared it, Rob, then versus now, I'm sure we didn't have Amari Cooper on that radar. But he's been playing lights out like we talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
Let's get to some college predictions. A lot of big games this weekend. We were coming off of rivalry week, which was fantastic. I always love that week, Rob. Especially since Georgia Tech won. But anyway, let's go kick it off. We got a lot of big predictions here. Yeah, number 7 Arizona and number 2 Oregon. Now, you're saying Oregon is the best team in the nation right now. If that's the case, I don't think they're going to have any problem with Arizona, and they are playing at home. I think their eyes are on the prize, Robin. They're eyeing that championship to try to show some credibility to the Pac-12.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like this Arizona team, too. Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Hey, Michigan should be regretting getting rid of him. What a phenomenal job he's done with that program and this outstanding job. But obviously Arizona is a little weak on the defensive side of the football, and I think that's what's going to haunt them. I think Oregon plays a little bit more defense. I like Oregon here in like a 37-27 game. They should beat Arizona.
Yeah, like you said, that's a great call, Rob. Michigan is definitely – regret letting Rich Rodriguez go. You know, unfortunately, he didn't fit the mold of what they're looking for, having that big, those big linemen, Rob, and just kind of pounding it. You know, that's what happens. You know, that's, you hope, if you're Nebraska, this could be a precursor as far as what's going to happen. But that's my 2 cents on that, too. That's a great team. But like you said, I think Oregon has a little bit too much more talent. They'll be able to pull it out at Oregon. We have a championship game here, SEC. We've got Missouri. You got number 1 Alabama versus number 16 Missouri. Some people aren't happy with this, Rob. You know, Georgia just manhandles Missouri 34-0. Missouri comes back and beats an Arkansas team. You know, say what you will. I think there's no doubt that Alabama's going to win this game too. But just interesting setup how you know Missouri ends up getting in the SEC championship, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Missouri 2 years in a row out of the. They had a down year their first year in the transition from the Big 12. Then the second and third years in the SEC, they're playing in the championship game. And it's very surprising. I do like Alabama in this matchup. I like them pretty big, too. I'm thinking 37-20 over Missouri, Alabama.
Nice. You got number 9, Kansas State, at number 6, Baylor. This is a tough one for me. I'm a huge fan of Bill Snyder. I think he may run into some challenges with Baylor, though, in this particular game. What's your prediction in this particular? This is going to be a really close, really good matchup, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I like Baylor by a field goal in this one. Very close game, very tight game. Bryce Petty comes through in the clutch by a field goal.
Number 4, Florida State versus number 11, Georgia Tech. That's great to see us progress in the rankings there. You know, I'm going to get your predictions. I don't want to be colored by my homerism, but what are your thoughts on this game, actually, Rob? You think Georgia Tech has an opportunity in this particular game, Rob?
Well, I think you're going to like my prediction. I like Georgia Tech and upset on this one. I think this is Florida State's going to have a tough time preparing for that offense in 1 week, and I think they control the clock, keep Jameis Winston, Florida State off the field, and I think they can win this game by 10 points. I'm thinking 30-20, Georgia Tech over Florida State in the upset, which will knock Florida State out of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is a scary game for me because we're getting like a lot of love nationally right now. I'm hoping that Florida State doesn't get them kind of like waking a sleeping giant there. But they've been surviving a lot of games. Paul Johnson has not given them any bulletin board material saying how great of a team they are. They've won 27 straight. So it's going to be a tough game. But like you said, you like the opportunity if you have a team that can run the ball, and our defense has been playing really, really, really well. So that's a huge, unpleasant surprise in that particular matchup too. So thank you for that, Rob. Appreciate that. Appreciate the love.
Oh, no problem.
Number 13, Wisconsin. Melvin Gordon, man, coming in versus number 5, Ohio State. Now, Ohio State, obviously – they lost their quarterback, JT Barrett, if I'm not mistaken, for the season. You're hoping that they can overcome this, Rob, but do you think they can? Do you think Melvin's going to be able to run crazy over Ohio State? What's your predictions here in this particular matchup?
Well, we got a little bit of an unknown here how the third-string quarterback for Ohio State's going to perform. So I think it's going to be a very tough situation here. Just from that unknown factor, I have to pick Wisconsin in this game. I think Melvin Gordon has a great game. I think Wisconsin wins 23-14.
Wow. Okay. Good stuff. We got about 6 minutes left in the show, Rob. Let's kind of kick it. We are going to talk some NFL right now. Give us some top teams. Man, this clearly, Rob, clearly – we talked about unpredictable. That's where we are. A couple of weeks before, we would have sworn up and down that the Broncos were going to be representatives, and they could still be, for the AFC. Some things have shifted. The Patriots have been playing well. Packers have been playing well. Arizona's when we got beat by the Falcons. They were up there. So, top five right now. What are your thoughts about top five teams in the NFL right now?
Well, right now, I like Green Bay right now. They're the hottest team in the league. Aaron Rodgers playing phenomenal football. The numbers that he's putting up is amazing. And the hottest quarterback in the NFL right now. I like Green Bay at the number one spot. Number two, I have the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you, C.J. Anderson has really helped this team tremendously. And when you look at it now, this has got incredible balance to their offense now. Earlier this season, they had problems running the football, but that's not going to be a problem anymore the way they just found this guy, C.J. Anderson, who was 200-some yards rushing this past weekend, and he catches the ball out of the backfield, too. You gotta like Denver right now, the way they're set up. I like Philadelphia in the three spot, playing very talented team. Chip Kelly doing a phenomenal job with that up-tempo offense. I like New England at four, and I drop Arizona to five. And Arizona's going to have a struggle staying in his top five without Carson Palmer.
Nice. Yeah, good calls, Rob. Good call all the way around. I definitely like where you're headed at. I like the Green Bay pick. Patriots, like you said, been playing well. Not too sure about the Cardinals, but, right now, I am a fan of Bruce Arians. He's been doing a phenomenal job, too. So we'll come back. We've got about 4 minutes here. Let's talk about some moves here, some quarterbacks here. And I do want to mention, because I got to get Johnny Football in there, can the Eagles go to the Super Bowl, Rob, with Mark Sanchez at quarterback?
I think they'll definitely be in the hunt. You got to realize Mark Sanchez took two New York Jets football teams that didn't have this much talent to AFC championship games, but obviously those Jets teams had great defenses too. So you got to keep that in mind. I like the way he's playing. I think they're actually playing. I think he's actually playing better than what Nick Foles was as well. But I think they definitely have a shot.
Good call on that, Rob. And you said that you did say that Mark Sanchez needed an opportunity and better coaching. So good call. Let's talk about another quarterback, Rob. Brian Hoyer's been struggling a little bit, and looks like the Browns are trying to make a move and go with Johnny Manziel. Is it officially time, Rob, or is it a little premature, Rob?
Well, I'll tell you what. The Browns were 7-4 prior to this past week's game. I thought it was kind of premature to make that switch at this point in the season. And I think if you got a quarterback taking you to a 7-4 record, I think he deserves the opportunity to kind of keep it going. So I think it's inevitable that they turn it over to Manziel. I just thought the timing was bad, just my opinion.
Yeah, it's like, when do you make the move, Rob? I don't think there's a good move or good, I don't know. It's just, Poyer was struggling for sure. Maybe they decided to let's just kind of make a move, like you talked about, try to like shake it up. So that's kind of what I think his thought process was with that particular instance, Rob.
That shit makes a lot of sense.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes and 24 seconds here. I guess two things. Either we can kind of get ready to wrap it up on you. We probably won't go too long if we do go OT, but I'm going to leave it on you, Rob. We've got about 2 minutes here. I don't know if you want to do some fantasy shout-outs or how you want to go with that as we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man for December the 2nd.
Yeah, obviously, once again, we'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate your loyalty and patience, even as we've been off the air the last 3 weeks due to being under the weather and things of that nature. So we appreciate you guys sticking with us. And we want to also thank our fantasy football players and competitors. We appreciate you competing with us. It's been a lot of fun as we're getting ready to go into the playoffs of our fantasy football leagues. Just got some quick shout-outs. And our Money League Hot Rods team had the biggest win in the week, 156.50 to the Kings, 70.46. Irvin's team's in first place at 11-2, holding down the first place spot. And in our league number one, yours truly had the biggest win of the week, 202.76 over Black and Gold, 131-90. Black and Gold is also in first place as well. League number two, Saints Pelicans 23, the biggest win of the week, 177.82, as he defeated playoffs, 66.46. And also Saints Pelicans 23 is in first place in that league. And he's actually holding down Anthony Davis, the new 23, is holding down the first place at the moment in our fantasy basketball league. So those are our quick fantasy shout-outs to all of our competitors. Appreciate you guys playing again.
Appreciate that. We would have to wait 3 weeks because I was killing it. And 1 week I have a tough week. That's what it's all about. We got about 20-something seconds, Rob. I know we're not going to go too deep into the OT portion, but stay tuned. We are going to talk about who the NFL MVP is, the Jets, Rex. Did Rex Ryan do enough to save his job? some more NFL predictions too. So with that being said, Rob, you want to say anything else before we get ready to close out this particular edition of Talking Sports?
Oh, once again, we just thank you all for tuning in. We got a few other topics we're going to get into our abbreviated edition of our OT portion. So you definitely want to tune in at the same time tomorrow to take a listen.
We are officially in the OT portion, and so, man, let's talk about this, Rob. NFL MVP, a lot of good candidates right now, and if you're looking at some teams that are playing the hottest right now, is Aaron Rodgers a candidate, if you will, or who do you think MVP right now so far?
Well, my opinion, it is Aaron Rodgers, no doubt about it. I think, you know, some honorable mentions. You have Tom Brady, J.J. Watt, even though the Texans are 6-6, having a phenomenal year. Got to mention his name and a number. I think Tom Brady and J.J. Watt, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3. But I think the award should go to Aaron Rodgers.
Good call. The Jets, Rob, Rex Ryan, earlier you would have thought that he was with everything to get himself fired. He does just enough, and then, you know, I don't know, should the Jets bring him back, or is it just bad luck? I mean, it seems like he can pick some defensive players, but, you know, I hope you're not going to bowl pulling that route, but should he come back to the Jets?
Obviously, I think it's time for a change for the New York Jets. Just some quick breaking news here. Florida is officially finalizing a deal to make Jim McElwain the next football coach.
Wow.
Just a little bit on Jim McElwain. We talked about him briefly earlier. He was the offensive coordinator of Alabama for quite a few years on those national championship teams. So that's where he really got his claim to fame. So he has some success in the SEC. Jim McElwain, who's the head coach of Colorado State now, yes, they're finalizing a deal with him to be the next football coach at Florida. But yeah, but getting back to, sorry for the brief news interruption, I think it's time that the Jets try to make a change and see what they can do with that ball club and replacing Rex Ryan.
That's a good call, man. Let's talk about some predictions here. I muted myself when I said, sorry about that, Rob. Let's talk about some real quick predictions here. Good games here. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Go ahead and make your call on this particular game, Rob.
I like Cincinnati. They struggled a little bit on the road at Tampa Bay. And even though Pittsburgh's coming off a loss as well, I like Cincinnati to win this game at home.
Baltimore at Miami.
I like Miami. You know, once again, they struggled on the road against the Jets, but they've been playing well at home. I like this team right here, Miami at home.
Andrew Luck versus Money, Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel. We don't know who's going to make the call here, but what's your prediction of this particular game, Rob?
Let's see here. What game is this?
Indy at Cleveland.
Indy at Cleveland. I like Indianapolis on the road here, whether Manziel or Brian Hoyer, whoever plays at QB. I like the coach, Andrew Luck, playing well.
Buffalo at Denver.
I like Denver here. Hard to beat that team in the Mile High Stadium. I like Denver.
KC at Arizona.
I like Kansas City. I think Arizona's struggling right now with the quarterback position. I like Kansas City on the road here. I think Arizona continues on a nosedive.
Seattle at Philly, great, great matchup, Rob.
Yeah, this was one that I struggled with, trying to figure out a winner. I'm going to go with San Diego on a surprise move, field goal.
You mean Philly at Seattle? Would you go? You're going to go with Seattle, you meant, or Philly? I'm sorry.
No, I'm you said Seattle at Philly? I like Philadelphia there.
Yeah, that's okay. And then New England at San Diego. Were you thinking of San Diego upset for this one, or just another call?
I like San Diego on a slight upset there, yes, by about 3 points.
Wow. Cool. Let's wrap this up. You got Kevin Durant, season debut tonight. And then the Hornets are shocking last season. Give us your two thoughts, and we'll wrap up this particular show, Rob.
Yeah, obviously Kevin Durant returned for his first game of the season. Actually on the road here in New Orleans tonight. Shot the ball pretty well. Played about 30 minutes tonight. Obviously OKC wants to work him back up to that 35 to 38 minutes tonight. He scored 27 points, shot the ball well. He was out of control a little bit on some of his penetrations and lost the ball. And obviously he's got to get his legs back underneath him. So he still needs to get into a little bit better shape. But a tough loss for the Kevin Durant and OKC. Obviously the Charlotte Hornets, starting off with a slow start. They had high expectations this season. They're starting off the season 4-14. So obviously Michael Jordan wants to see what they can do to possibly cut some cap at that, with that record.
Gotcha. Man, so it's been a great, great edition of Talking Sports in 12, man. Appreciate you guys listening. I know we've been getting caught up. We have always enjoyed it. But Rob, good show, and we thank you as well for tuning in. Anything else, Rob, you want to say before we get ready to shut off this edition, sir?
Make sure you join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Don't forget, join us next week, next Tuesday night.
For Rob, for my co-host Rob Ford, I'm Andre Peterson. Thank you for talking to Sports 12 Men. We'll see you guys next week. Good night.
Good night, people.